Enchanted Sky Media.
This is Code 3, the podcast for firefighters. Now, here's your host, Scott Orr.
Thank you for joining me for another edition of Code 3, the podcast for firefighters. Today we'll be talking with a 30-year veteran of the fire service. Eric Creever is the chief of the Mayer, Arizona Fire District. He's done everything you can do in the fire service. Firefighter, paramedic, battalion chief, fire marshal, assistant chief to acting fire chief, and that is a mouthful. He's worked in the Arizona communities of Fountain Hills, East Mesa, Mayer, Prescott, Scottsdale, and now he's back in Mayer again. Eric is the current co-chair of the executive board of the Arizona State Fire Training Committee. And joining me now is Eric Creever. Thanks for talking with Code 3 today, Chief.
Thank you, Scott. It's a pleasure being with you this morning.
Well, Chief, you haven't been chief in Mayer for all that long. It's only been a year. Why did you go back?
You know, through my time, I had spent 2002 to 2005 with Mayer Fire District as a battalion chief, and my wife and I moved up here with our first daughter, and we had our second daughter while we were here with Mayer Fire District. And when we left, I took an opportunity to continue to grow through my career in advance, and I took an assistant chief job back with Fountain Hills, and I got an excellent opportunity to go to the Prescott Fire Department, and I really enjoyed that and spending my time there with a great group of people. And when the fire chief job opened up with Mayor, my wife and I discussed if it would be a good opportunity for our family, so we went ahead and were afforded the opportunity and came back here to see if we can continue to make improvements and work closely with the firefighters and the community with the Mayer Fire District.
Now, Mayer is a small fire district. It's not tiny, but it's pretty small. You have, what, three stations and how many firefighters?
Correct. We do have three stations, and it is a smaller fire district than obviously the city of Prescott and some of the other locations I've worked. And the Mayer Corridor has had its challenges during the recessions that we've dealt with, but we have 12 firefighters on duty, two chief staff, and two office staff in the office. We also have our reserve program can fluctuate anywhere from 10 to 20 reserves at any one time, and we do hire wild and seasonals for the wildfire season. So we have 12 full-time firefighters on the floor that are on every day, and then we have the two chief staff that work and administrate and work the operations section of the fire department.
So those 12 firefighters, are they paid or are some of them volunteers?
We have what you would call a combination fire department. So out of the 12 are full-time paid, and the two chief staff are paid, and the office staff are paid. And then we supplement our full-time force with our reserve program, and they're paid on call or they're paid for shift work. So they get to a certain level where they're qualified to work shifts, and then they fill in shift work for our staffing. We staff 5 people on duty every day, plus a chief officer, so we have 6. So out of those 4 full-time folks, 2 of them will be reserves, and then if any of the full-timers are out for sick or vacation or on a wildland fire assignment, they can be supplemented with the reserve force also.
So having come from a couple of bigger fire departments, what is the biggest challenge you face there?
The biggest challenge that we face here is kind of really like a lot of the other organizations, is the rising cost of the retirement system cost for firefighters. And obviously being a firefighter still, that's part of what I also deal with on our salaries as chief officers. But it's really the tax base and the challenge of the tax income of the net assessed value of the community. So, for example, during the recession, the assessed value of the community went from what I would call a high water mark in 2009-2010 at $49 million to currently an assessed value back to the 2006-2007 levels of $27 million. So a good portion of our revenue that we collect on our tax base is based off of that net assessed value of the community. Prop 117 restricted the amount of monies that fire districts can contain, can be awarded if their district values go up to a minimum of 5% of assessed value. So if a fire district was to receive an assessed value over that, the most that they could collect back into their tax base would be 5%. So if you do the math, the simple math, it could take up to 10 years for the Marin Fire District to get back to where they were at the high water mark of 2009-2010, which is our ultimate staffing levels of six people on duty and would be seven for national standard to have a three-person engine company at all times. So those are our greatest challenges is, you know, we have been restricted on abilities to bring wage increases to the firefighters. We do work the grant system as much as we can to bring grants into the community. And we also offer ambulance service, so we do provide rescue service. And that is another source of revenue to the community. But we've been relatively flat in the last 10 years of our call volume at about 1,400 to 1,500 calls a year. But the traffic volume and the seriousness of the incidents can be more intense. If we saw the Buck Creek fire last year, and we get multi-casualty accidents on the freeway system. So we have a lot of vehicles driving through our district at any one time.
Now, you mentioned the ambulance service, and I'm kind of curious about that. Do you guys just do transports between hospitals to generate some revenue, or is it always emergency response only?
We only do emergency response via 911 call, and we are supplemented by Lifeline Ambulance. Also, they have a unit out in this area. We respond to rescues that are staffed, and we have personnel that respond on the two rescues, but with the size of our district, we cover from roughly Sunset Point up to Dugas Road, but we will go up to Cherry Road, and then we cover the Highway 69 corridor from Cordis Junction to Poland Junction. So it's a large area, and our ambulances will also go to Cleeter and get patients that are brought down from Crown King, patients that are out on Bloody Basin Road that are, you know, recreation folks that are out in our area. So we can have almost up to 300 square mile location that our ambulance units will respond to.
You know, it's ironic. It seems like the smallest agencies are the ones with the largest response area.
Yeah, it really does. You know, that we're relied on, but we also have to make sure that we continue our primary service delivery to the folks who paying taxes towards our district and our customer service delivery. But when you're the closest unit to some of these areas, and if you have resources available, and you'll provide, at minimum, we may respond a chief out to that location or a chief with an ambulance and make sure we try to keep an engine in the district at all times. And it can be a challenge because we do often get multiple calls at one time. And then when we do that, we rely on our neighbors. We're fortunate that we do have good mutual aid agreements with Central Arizona Fire and Medical Authority and Copper Canyon to our north, and then to our south, Black Canyon City, who has merged with Daisy Mount. So when we do have a need, we can rely on assistance from our neighbors, and then we also provide assistance whenever requested to any of our neighbors, on top of the federal and state agencies that all of our community borders those lands.
Now, lest people think you don't get a whole lot of fire calls, you just had a structure fire last week or 10 days ago in the middle of the night. So, I mean, the question in my mind is, how did you guys respond to that? Did you have how many people did you have on at the time, and how many people did you have to wake up?
Yeah, you bet. You know, it probably is a misconception on the amount of fire calls we have, but I've had since I've been here in the last year. Obviously, the structure fires vary on the size of the community, and we know that in the city of Prescott or in Central Arizona's fire response area, there's going to be more. But we definitely are a busy fire district. Within the last year, we've had roughly four structure fires, one large wildfire, and for a time, multiple wildfires every monsoon season would come through within our first due or bordering our first due area. We also go out to Orm School, and we'll go to Chauncey Y Camp and some of those surrounding areas. So the lodge, the Creekside Lodge fire was at about roughly 4:25 in the morning, 4:30 in the morning. Our first due response, we had a full complement. Everybody was in district. We had five firefighters respond, myself as the fire chief. And then I called Central Arizona Fire Medical Authority, and they sent Engine 54, and I requested a water tender from them. So we were able to get nine firefighters on that incident in a really quick manner, and it was a defensive fire. So we were able to hold with that amount of people. And one of the challenges we have is a water supply system. It's not always in a great location, so having the water tenders, and we would do what we would call a tender shuttle, so we would shuttle tenders for a consistent water supply. Fortunately, we were able to get that go defensive, what we would call fight that fire from the exterior, and there's no loss of life. Unfortunately, we did lose two dogs in that fire, but we were able to contain it to the primary structure that was on fire and keep it from extending into any of the cabins. And fortunately, this time of year, we know we had a wildfire yesterday in the Prescott Valley area, so we are in our wildfire season, but there was no extensions in any brush or anything like that.
Let's talk for a few minutes about recruiting. Where do you recruit your firefighters?
Yeah, we recruit with our wildland, with our seasonal program, and then with our reserve program. We do have quite a large number. We're located in kind of an interesting area where, you know, we're roughly 20 minutes from Prescott Valley, 30 minutes from the Prescott border, 40 minutes from the heart of Prescott. And then we're only an hour north of Phoenix, and then we're roughly a half hour from Camp Verde Cottonwood area. So we really blast out when we recruit, and that's one of the advantages of being involved with the Arizona State Fire Training Committee, is we have a opportunity to blast out around the entire state whenever we go to hire our reserve program or full-time folks to our program. And we try to get the best people possible. And we also try to get folks that understand that we often have to do things with less resources. If you think about the Buck Creek fire, where we were able to have 300 resources on that incident within a few hours, it really tells a lot about the automatic mutual aid system within the state of Arizona and the federal and state agencies and other fire agencies, how they work together. But to answer your question specifically, we'll go through an email blast and send that out. We have a large number of our reservists that come from the valley, and many of them want to get hired by a municipal fire department or other fire departments, or they'd like to get hired here. And we do our best to try to get them on here. But if anything, we'll get them experience and training available to them, so when they continue their careers, that they can always remember Mara as a good experience and get calls where they were challenging and were challenged with less staffing and some pretty intense call volume that they could get and carry that with them throughout their career, so that they always will have that training to help keep them safe and move forward in their careers.
How much of a concern is it to you that these guys will get the training they need from AIR and then they'll leave for a department that's larger and pays more? Or is that just something you're used to?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's kind of a dynamic that we're somewhat used to. One of the things that's good for our organization and bad, I guess, is that, you know, the corridor, the 69 corridor, hasn't experienced a whole lot of growth lately. We do have the junction starting to grow and get some interest, and I have had some items come through where the 69 corridor is looking to add some businesses, but as it continues to grow from Dewey Humboldt, Prescott Valley down, and then Cordis Junction up, we have a workforce that has, you know, stayed here, and many of us live here and live in the community and stay. So our turnover rate can be somewhat low, so we do have the reserves and we train them, and we understand that, you know, paying, there's some pay there that, you know, they're also helping us, obviously, in our district, and we do have some reserves that have been here for a while, and we value that, and hopefully eventually they get on here. But we do make sure that if we can retain as many of our full-time people that want to stay here, and that's the big investment. And I've always talked everywhere I've worked, and at the city of Prescott, you know, every investment into a firefighter, there's a great deal of the community and the taxpayers' money invested in each firefighter, and we value that when they can stay. But I also want to make sure that they leave here with a good feeling and insight about their experience with our district and with our department and the training that they did receive, so that when they move on, that they always have that memory and that thought of where they first started and never forget their roots, so to speak.
And speaking of those memories, you came in at a pretty turbulent time after the previous chief had been let go. My understanding is that there were some morale issues when you first arrived. How do you assess morale now that you've been there for a while and things have settled down?
Yeah, there's some challenges. You know, there was some, you know, coming from Prescott and being there from 2007 to I came here last year in 2016. And then being in mayor prior, where we were kind of in a growth period, the fiscal challenges that were difficult and the morale with the personnel, they've been very supportive and realize that I can move forward and have the abilities to maintain the organization as we move forward. But there is a bit of understanding that we only increased 1% last year and our net assessed value was one of the lowest in the county. So it's important that I have their support and understanding that when we have to make these fiscal decisions, that it's in the best interest of the community, making sure we keep our firefighters safe and we're doing the best we can with what we have to work with. So morale has been good, and they understand that we're making these difficult decisions, but we're always trying to do whatever we can to better the district and to bring a culture within the district of one that is of a positive feeling of the work environment. And that takes time to reverse that as they spent many years struggling through that. I think my goal is to keep them solvent and to also try to put a little bit of money away so that when we move forward, we're not living off of each month of what our net assessed value is, as we know that the economy, you know, whatever which way the economy goes, we have to be held true to whatever we have to work with. And I can guarantee them a positive attitude and a positive work environment and remain fair and consistent. But an example was we were not able to refund 3 safer positions that were granted to the district, and unfortunately had to let those people go. And that was very difficult for me to come in and have to make that decision early on, as we reapplied for the SAFER grant, which is a federal grant, and not able to maintain those firefighters. They still work for us as reserves, and the first opportunity that will be for them to be brought back, we have 2 of them. The other was hired by another organization. We will bring them back into the community and the organization if they would like to. They're excellent employees, so it was very difficult, definitely challenging, and we have more challenges ahead as we have another flat year moving forward. And the best thing I can ask for our firefighters here in Mayor is that they just stay positive and keep providing the excellent customer service to the community and hang in there as we continue to move forward as an organization and make improvements. This is a long-term commitment. It's not a quick turnaround. So I like to use the term, you know, slow and steady wins the race. It's a marathon and not a sprint.
Sounds good. It sounds like you have it well in hand. We'll leave it there. Chief Eric Creever, thanks for being on the Code 3 podcast this week.
Thank you, Scott. It's my pleasure. And please, everybody, be safe as our wildfire season starts to quickly approach. And it was a pleasure talking to you today.
And that's all for this edition. Thank you for listening. I'll be back next week with more interviews and more information. I'm Scott Orr, and this has been Code 3, the podcast for firefighters.
Code 3 is a production of Enchanted Sky Media. To get in contact with us, visit code3podcast.com. And if you haven't subscribed yet, you should. Don't miss an episode. Find us at the Apple iTunes Store, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts.